This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Good morning, everybody. 8 o'clock hour on Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. In for Sean Pendergast this morning, I'm Sean Bajani. Catch me sometimes at night, Area 45, 8 to midnight. Though typically today, Friday, happy Friday, by the way, usually on 10 to midnight, we are foregoing our 10 to midnight, as far as I know. Today, but we'll see you next week, and we've got you for another couple hours between now and 10 o'clock this morning. 713-5724-610, 5724-610. Call or text the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. The aftermath of Aziz. Seth, I haven't said this yet, but it's the case. We all know this. When something like a fight and the extracurricular happen in a football game, it spills over into other things. Quickly, quote-unquote fans, fanatics, trolls, needlers on social media, what have you, will make it about something that it's just not or shouldn't be. And you're familiar to this, but Patrick Creighton, when I brought this up a couple of nights ago, was not at the time, but Aziz Alshire, even pre his collage post on Instagram and Twitter with the Joker and the pro-Palestine cleats and, you know, a quote that he'd had out there amongst some other things, there was a lot of hate and vitriol directed at Aziz immediately after that play on social media that I saw literally just an hour after the game. Maybe it was after the play, for that matter, about his views and political and religious beliefs, and that's what really prompted the type of response that we've all seen and talked about now on social media.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, on the personal level of things, Aziz Alshire has been getting all kinds of hate poured into him and onto him, and probably, you know, even if he tries to stay off social media, I'm sure people are telling him all about it. And I guess that's the, how does Aziz Alshire react to it? And does he feel like, all right, well, fine, go, you know, everybody can go die. I don't give a damn. I could totally understand and get that. I think the more interesting thing from a Texans perspective as an organization is that in Caserio coming out as vocally critical of the league as he did, and D'Amico Ryans and being so supportive of Aziz Alshire, and actually kind of trying to put some blame onto the Jaguars themselves and their sideline management, all of that. The organization itself now is starting to kind of take on a villain role. And I'm always torn with stuff like this because I like it. I like it if you can embrace the anti-hero role. But as multiple people annoyingly pointed out to me when I brought that up, it's like, all right, well, listen, if you're the Raiders back in the day or if you're the Astros as of late, it's a lot more fun to play the villain role when you're also actually winning championships.
Yeah.
And that's the missing part of the equation right here.
Sure.
But I think you got to remember with the Raiders, especially back in the 70s or whatever, that they were villains before they won their Super Bowl. And it was more of just the whole us against the world mentality and the way they operated, like the beginnings of all that, that I'd be cool with that. I don't mind being like looked at as the team that's, oh, they're always pushing the line. They're just a little more violent than they should be. That if it's, as long as it does end up in a championship, I'm cool with that.
You're probably not going to remember this, but I do. You and I don't get a chance to do a lot of shows together, but it was probably in and around this time of the season last year that I brought it up. We had the conversation because, look, the defense was obviously looking really damn good. The football team was exceeding everybody's expectations at this point last year. And, look, the linebacker core consisted of a very surprising performance from Blake Cashman, and you had Denzel Perryman, who was, you know, brought a little bit of that nasty, that edge type player to him last season for the Texans. And I started to get the vibe and feel that, hey, you know what? The kind of player and culture, mindset, violence that D'Amico Ryans wants his defense to play with, we're starting to see that a little bit. And then look at the guys that they've continued to bring in this offseason. Look at the way that they're playing right now. And you could tell me if I'm flat-ass wrong on this, but this is just my feel. D'Amico Ryans is a freaking artist. And I mean that in many ways. And I'll attack it first from a player perspective, because as a player, I don't know that anybody was maybe more, and we know this more now than maybe what we recall when we watched him play, because people talk about him now, but he was a violent, bad mofo on the football field, but he was soft-spoken,
yeah,
you know, very good with the media, very great in front of the cameras, and you know, just had a different type of aura off of the football field. He was able to switch it on and off, right? And I think Azeez Al-Shaair is very much like that. I think Jimmy Ward is very much like that. To a lesser degree, because he could still be a little abrasive off mic. Joe Mixon is kind of like that on the offensive side.
Yeah.
But I bring all that up because I told you last season around this time that I would not hate it at all if the Texans earned the kind of reputation for being slightly a bit of a dirty team. And it was right at around when they brought Kareem Jackson in. So it was a little later in the season, I believe it was. And they're there. Here they are.
So this is what I wonder, too. And I'll say this without emotion. I wonder if the league has specifically zeroed in on the Texans, because if you look at the players who have been suspended 3 games for unsportsmanlike conduct, or at least that being a big fueling part of it, Denzel Perryman last year was initially suspended 3 games. They dialed it back to 2. Azeez Al-Shaair this year suspended 3 games, not dialed back. Kareem Jackson last year, it wasn't his actions when he was on the Texans that caused him to be suspended. He was suspended 3 games when he was with the Broncos. But he did find his way to the Texans. So D'Amico, you know, has zero issue having players like that on his team.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if the team is looking at the Texans as, hey, man, all right, look, this is turning into a theme here, that you've got guys that you bring out the worst in them or the best in them.
Well,
whatever it might. Perryman didn't have a really lengthy history before he got to the Texans.
No.
A lot of it just started when he got to the Texans. Yeah, they might already in the league be identified as, man, D'Amico's guys are a wild bunch, and we got to keep a close eye on them.
I'm going to see if I can go here responsibly. But again, please tell me if you think I'm wrong or off base here. But the way that I just described D'Amico Ryans as a player, now a former player and head coach, is the guys that he wants, I don't necessarily think he wants them to, you know, be him, but be like him, in the sense that he was a controlled yet violent player on the field, but operate in a gray area. And that is a very difficult thing to do sometimes. And it's even more difficult, I'd say, nowadays in respect to just the defender versus the quarterback that turns into a runner. We know this discussion. We know how this goes, right? We're living it and seeing it play out this week after the Trevor Lawrence hit. But see if you can follow me here. Like, D'Amico wants these guys, and it now is his responsibility as a leader on this defense and of the team to try and get them to operate efficiently in that gray area that's so damn dangerous. And it's a very difficult thing to do. And Azeez Al-Shaair is in a position now that he has never been in his career. But he'd been handpicked. DeMeco knew him in Frisco and saw the promise. He saw what he was capable of last year within the division, and he's got him on this team now, and he is executing it perfectly. But if you recall, the one thing, and DeMeco has said this twice, once last year, I think it was in response to the Denzel Perryman suspension, and he said it earlier this year after Azeez Alshire had that sideline scuffle against the Bears week two, I think it was. We want that, but the one thing you can't do is get ejected because it costs you and it costs the team. It hurts the team. That's that gray area.
You know who the best example might be? And I've been thinking about this is, okay, coach who's widely regarded and respected as a stand-up dude, and yet his players are much different than that guy's public persona. Tom Osborne with the Nebraska Cornhuskers in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Those dudes were psychotic. But Tom Osborne, widely regarded and respected as almost like a grandfatherly type figure who does things the right way. Sean, I can tell you that I played with a few different guys who played on Tom Osborne's teams from that era. These guys were psychotic. Like, think about, okay, for guys our age listening, think about Tom Osborne's public persona as a coach versus Christian Peters, the defensive lineman. They couldn't be more divergent. And yet, they all played for Tom Osborne. Those black shirts on defense that would do stuff that, I mean, Sean, some of the stories about stuff that went down, like, it sounded like, these were stories like out of the program, like the parties that they had, the stuff that got kind of brushed under the rug by the local police, the violence at practice, and like the hazing and stuff that would go on.
Talk about the Wild West.
It was out of control.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't, there's no way it would fly in the modern era, but it can happen. And it was a magical run that the Nebraska Cornhuskers had when they had a lot of guys like that out there. I think that's kind of where DeMeco is right now. He's a Tom Osborne guy. And like, it's hard to manage, especially in today's world. But I think the sights of the NFL have kind of been leveled on the Texans right now, and they're going to be hyper vigilant about any transgressions. I think that Jimmy Ward, Jalen Petrie, the big hitters on this team.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be under extra scrutiny for the rest of the season.
And
maybe as long as DeMeco is the coach.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But is that something that DeMeco Ryans and this defense is willing to kind of bend on? Or is this going to be something that, you know what, this is who we are. This is what I want this defense to ultimately be.
Yeah,
it sucks right now. But look, this is the culture. This is swarm your ass off right here, man. And I think, honestly, Seth, and we'll probably end up talking about this a little bit later on, I think it's necessary. I think it's necessary with the way that things have gone with this team this year, the inefficiencies, the struggles that this offense is having. I don't know that you need to, you know, kind of change course, so to speak, in what you are teaching and preaching to this defense and how you want them to play and attack the opposition. Because I think the defense, if the Texans are going to ultimately accomplish or at least put themselves in position to accomplish what they've set out preseason, the defense is going to have to be the mofo. They're going to have to be the attacker. They're going to have to be a reason, maybe the reason they get there.
You know what? Okay, so when you talk about it in those terms, you think about the Ravens from their Super Bowl, their first Super Bowl in 2000. And that was a team that was led by its defense. You got a lesser quarterback than I think what C.J. Stroud can be, but they were able to do it with the defense. And likewise, that was a team that was getting Ray Lewis back from jail. They were psychotic. They pushed the envelope. They were very, very physical and very, very tough. Are they good enough as a defense to be that team? I don't think so. Not right now. And maybe they can be closer to it by the end of the season. But you're right. But how do they lean into that persona as they're also under extra scrutiny? I don't know.
Yeah, well, look, you can lean into it. Are you equipped? to do that.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. Do you have the same horses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the question, I think. And we're going to have to see. And maybe it can be offset by a significant improvement, which we're going to have to see, if we're being honest, from the offense to kind of counteract some of that stuff going forward for the Texans. You asked the question a little bit earlier this segment, like, you know, maybe you don't know if you feel like the Texans, you know, should be like, are they really a villain team? Are they ready to embrace this? You know, to make it like more specific, does Azeez Al-Shaair really want to be the villain? Like, does he maybe want to be the poster child of this? You can make it whatever you want, in my opinion. But I'd said this earlier that when he says, hey, you want me to be the villain, I'll be the villain. To me, that has not a damn thing to do with football and has everything to do with a guy that is standing up for what he believes in religiously and politically, because that was the response for him on Twitter.
The anti-Islamic stuff was more so that probably hit him more harder than
absolutely
the actual football
stuff. And you know
stuff.
What? You know what's galvanizing that can translate to the football field is, hey, I guess, by the way, Tytus Howard's back on Twitter, because he was one of the ones that kind of had Azeez Al-Shaair's back on social. Mm-hmm. Kamari Lassiter, Will Anderson, Nico, I don't know if Nico Collins was, I can't remember. Jimmy Ward. There was a, you know, half dozen Texan players that kind of said, yeah, and championed, you know, that type of response from Azeez Al-Shaair. That brings me to one of my biggest concerns about this team, Seth, and it maybe kind of ties into something we're going to get to next segment, but are the Texans paying far too much attention and being distracted by the outside noise? I can tell you at least two occasions this season, we know that for a fact. We know it for a fact because they've acknowledged it. They've said it. The loss after the loss to the Vikings and what was said by D'Amico Ryans and multiple players after that game is reference to the outside noise. Got a little too big for their britches going into that game.
Yeah.
And look, that was the outside noise, the rat poison, if you will, that they kind of bit them there. And look, if we're being honest, the inside noise did as well, because they blamed, you know, the stadium atmosphere for a lot of their struggles.
Oh, yeah, the actual noise.
Yeah, the actual right. noise. That was that's a problem.
Good. This team hates noise of any variety. But they cannot handle noise.
Right.
On social media or with actual decibels.
Right. Yeah. But it came up again. After the Titans game, you know,
you can't ever ignore it completely, but you at least got to have some high quality, like, construction site earplugs in. you gotta dull it enough that you can operate your skid steer. Yeah.
What was the loss here recently that prompted another player meeting? I think it would have been the third.
I don't. It felt like they had 17 player meetings in the course of 3 days. Was it the Titans? I think it was after the Titans.
No. It was the Jets game, I believe. It was lost to the.
What prompted the initial, like the big one that was reported?
Yeah. Okay. I think it was the Jets game. Could have been the Lions game. Hell, I don't know. By count, at least what was reported, they've at least had four. And we've gotten a couple of them confirmed by Jimmy Ward, who said, yeah, we'll probably have another one. But, you know, for a team that has unpromptedly said and referenced outside noise as being a factor, showing up with too low of energy in games and not having killer instinct, all things that really very transparent Jimmy Ward has said on the postgame mm-hmm. show here on Sports Radio 610 with Pendergast and Sterner. That to me is a problem, because the expectations of this team is at record high, and now you've got multiple occasions in the most pivotal season in franchise history that your team can't handle the outside noise and for whatever reason is paying far too much attention to it. And the Azeez Al-Shaair response on social media, albeit non-football related, really is what has me a little bit more concerned these days.
Well, and I think a question I've gotten from some listeners that kind of surprised me, and then The Drive did a segment on it yesterday, asking a question basically, has D'Amico lost control of the team? Very interesting question that caught me by surprise. It is a bye week, so there is no official injury this news. Normally, our injury report would be brought to you by Mokarem Injury Lawyers. So I'll give you that injury report. First, a little bit optimistically, Christian Harris, who's been out with a Kyle Tucker-like lower leg injury that we know nothing about. The name was brought up unprompted by Nick Caserio a couple times, so there's a chance that Christian Harris might return after the bye week. Hopefully we find out something about Jalen Petrie and his partially torn pec. And for anybody who cares, Trevor Lawrence, as you know, was put on IR and will have shoulder surgery to end his season, something that's obviously evident should have probably been done before he entered that Texans game and was playing like garbage the entire first half. Almost the entire first half. Injured in a car accident that wasn't your fault? Call Mocarum Injury Lawyers at 281-222-2222.